Woman by Cam Melville and Chief Yellow Mustard. Welcome to the Qumran Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson, coming at you live from Skid Row Studios. And I'm in the studio with my co-host, Earlene Anthony. Our call-in number is 1-800-893-9562. Now, this week on the Qumran Report, we will talk about how to put together after-school programs in underserved communities. And Miss Mella Desai will introduce a new monthly section entitled Warriors Radio, which we hope will become her own weekly show at Skid Row Studios. And I'm also delighted to have us with here in the studio, Reese 3 and Mr. James Marshall, his manager. Welcome to the Qumran Report.
How you doing?
Oh, fine. Hey. Now, yeah, we're waiting on Miss Mella to come up. But while we wait on Miss Mella, why don't you tell us a little, tell our listening audience a little about your background and how you got off into the music business. Let's start over here with Reese.
Well, music has, I'm originally from the east side of Detroit, born and raised Six Mile area, Kelly Road. Hung out on Seven Mile a lot. Got a pretty big church background and at the same time, a lot of street affiliation. I got into music because of my family. Like, it's just, everybody is just naturally gifted with music. The talent of it, you know, just, it just grew and just, it's just my position. It's my purpose, man, so. I just stayed with it and just kept going with it, and I just grew in it from writing lyrics, freestyling to doing beats on a Yamaha SY85, then to a studio, a full fledged studio working on the MPC 2000 XL, and is God just constantly letting me know, like, this is what I want you to do, like, this is your area, because I like business, like, that's my passion, but. Music is my passion and my purpose.
Did you start with your music back in Detroit?
Yes, sir.
You know, I went to school back in Detroit. You know, Detroit is my second home, that east side, too.
Yeah.
See, when I was in Detroit, hey, you didn't have too many African-Americans out by 7 Mile and out that way like that. And when I was in Detroit, Detroit, you know, was a had over 2 million people. Now Detroit has about 700,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
It's really one. And also the fact that Detroit is such a, was a music mecca. You know, when you think about Motown, all of the great musicians that came out. But I know with the decline of the automobile industry there, really sent Detroit into a downward spiral. And I'm just hoping my second home recover. I'm pretty sure they got to recover. They can't go nowhere but up now.
Yeah, yeah. And that's pretty much what would inspire me to do the kind of music that I do, which is urban inspiration music, because we all need it. It's essential. You know, it's good to have music that we can relate to on, you know, a day-to-day basis as far as this is what everybody has going on. But at the same time, I believe that what I give is not only what we have, that it's not only relevant, but also it's very essential. To, you know, our minds, our soul, our heart. So it's just, it's real good music you can vibe to and still feel your roots within it, you know?
Let's go over to your manager, and then I'm going to come back and ask you a couple more questions.
All righty.
And your manager is, can you tell us your name and how the two of you came together and what you hope to achieve?
My name is James Marshall. I'm one of the owners, CEO and co-founder of WeBattle.com. Everybody knows us by our website, because we, started off, filming concerts, going to various, music conferences and just building a database, that way we could actually put a platform as far as marketing the artists in the right way. We also deal with mainly independent acts because we want to see them succeed. And so we help them budget their funds. We help them put their money in the right place where it's going to actually make an effect for their career and not just trying to take their money and keep them stringing along, kind of spoon feeding them. But I actually had no idea that I would be doing music. Mm-hmm. My brother has been a musician for about 10 years. He plays a lead guitarist. He's a lead guitarist. He was taught by Victor Wooten.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people know who that is. So, but yeah, I started off actually videotaping his concerts and watching him go and open up for different people.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we began to do that, everything started to kind of, people started kind of calling on us to do different things as far as videotape concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually wanted to make a change in our community. So we started and a showcase, mm-hmm. and we called it Talent Tuesday. And so that grew into overnight us thinking of the name of a website. And my brother actually built it on his cell phone.
Out here? Was you?
No, I'm originally from Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay.
And so that night after our showcase, he built it on his cell phone. And the next day, we were promoting a website.
Okay.
And so we started the shows. It also got us into doing social media marketing, where we started. We were kind of like the first few people in our city to actually promote you on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with me coming out here, is to expand our website. And I go to church, One Church International, and that's where I met Reese, mm-hmm. Through another fellow member at the church, who reached out to him and was and told him about me. So he gave me a call.
Mm-hmm.
We sat down and had a talk. We hit it off real well. He's trying to really get out here and do some stuff. So mm-hmm. I'm along for the ride.
Okay. Now let me ask you this, because the main theme of our program tonight, we're talking about how to get more after school arts program, which music is arts also, for our young people in these underserved communities, like the communities where they had the ride at out here, the Rodney King ride with the Florence and Normandy area, is still a tore up area economically, and that's what I want to talk. I'm gonna ask Miss Mello about it because I know she's developing after school programs that deal with young people too. Second half of the program, we're going to get into your Warriors radio section, looking off into that. But let's talk a little while about, I'm going to get your thoughts on how can the young musicians around now contribute to that? How can we help develop more after school programs for our young people, teaching them music, making things available to them in these areas?
I believe that it starts off with a couple of things. One of them are the relationships that we have outside of our comfort zone, which is like with it could be with like board members, people from it could be from the White House or even yet alone just people that are in certain positions with the state of California or even any state within the U.S. because if we can build these relationships, then we could go right to the people who we need. Even before then, we could start off with the right type of grant writers, the right type of lawyers, the people who are in position to mm-hmm. move those ideas forward. And also with the right type of volunteers that are dedicated and that have the right attitude, mm-hmm. that are willing to make sure that we get what we need. Let's say if we put on the event and, okay, let's use James, for example. A We Battle event, and they're going to do a fundraiser to start such and such organization for the youth, for let's say arts, to where it's not only a good way of expressing themselves creatively, but also a way to be able to stay out of trouble and so forth. Mm-hmm. And that's what they raise the money for, but at the same time, having the right type of acts, and if it's not necessarily the acts that are what the parents may approve of, they can at least have certain songs that are presentable. Mm-hmm. To where it's like, I know my music, I don't use curse words. I may say, like one time I said, I make a hell of a catch, like an outfielder. It was pretty good. It wasn't necessarily cursing. I believe that if we can level out what we're saying and monitor what we are, the energy that we're dishing out and knowing exactly what we are saying to these people, especially mm-hmm. the children, Because if they don't get a break from the TV and everything else out there, mm-hmm. something that can begin to start a psychological change, it's just going to be the same results.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let me pick up on that because, see, where you come from, Detroit, east side of Detroit, and I remember they used to have the Boys Incorporated. What was it? The Young Boys Incorporated. You know, was
the YBI?
Yeah, the develop over there, and I mean all of the different gangs and stuff that developed. This is why I really thought that mayor, the one they call the hip hop mayor,
Kwame.
that came and took over Detroit. I think he's doing a little time now.
Yeah,
and I really thought that he was going to connect the dots. I thought he was going to be able to make Detroit that city that could do what Berry Gordy did during his time. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was needed. I thought there was one of the drop-off in Detroit when we lost the automobile industry and all that kind of stuff. And next thing we know, lost the music and all that kind of stuff there. That's what I'm talking about. Is how do they tap into these underserved areas and put programs in there that also that help develop the talent that you want to manage later on? Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of ways you could go by getting a lot of programs done, and some of them have to be. You have to take initiative yourself and start it, and most people will actually piggyback after that sometimes.
How about in Nashville, back where you come from?
How was
the after-school programs there? How did they tap into the community there?
When I was growing up, we had a lot. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of guys that played, whether it be sports or musicians, that would come back to the neighborhood and actually do things at the community center. Mm-hmm. And that was one place where it didn't cost them a lot of money or it didn't cost them to hold anything. And it was a gathering where all the kids would go anyways. Mm-hmm. So they would just offer different classes and you can just go to a class.
Mm-hmm. Voltaire?
No. We didn't have that there. But good idea. We should have had it.
Yeah,
probably. I always wanted to box, actually, but we never had an outlet.
Kind of like a program.
Yeah, we didn't have an outlet for it.
Miss Mellon, because I know you deeply involved in developing, using the arts to impact the community.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, as a filmmaker, I primarily wanted to focus on 3D, but when I arrived in L.A. 5 years ago and I see the inner cities, how Compton Watts and South Central are the hotbed for jailbait. We interviewed 525 kids in Compton Watts and South Central and asked them, what do you want to be when you grow up? And their main answers were basketball player, football player, gangster, and rapper, respectively, those mm-hmm. top four. And so when we ask the same questions in kids in Hollywood and Santa Monica and Beverly Hills, the same question, their answers were doctor, lawyer, French teacher, performing artist. We realized right then and there it was the lack of resources that allowed these kids to really just think inside the box. So when they see that their dads are slinging dope, they say, why should I get a job for $8 an hour when I can make three times as much in 15 minutes? And so that by the time they're 18, they get a prison state of mind, a street state of mind. But one thing we notice with these youths in these areas is that they are so talented because they have to use resources that are lacking for them and create games and create things that will keep them busy. But if they are given a platform of music, filmmaking, writing, what Hollywood is presenting right now, we would untap such a raw array of talent that we will change the face of Hollywood. And so that's really what it's about, is giving them the platform to do that.
Okay, let me play a comment by Tony Brown, and then we're going to come back and discuss it.
Now, how can the city create more after-school programs like Ola, especially in gang-infested areas, since we know Ola went into a gang-infested area and was successful? Mm-hmm. How can we use that as a model for a lot of the little areas in the city of Los Angeles?
Sure. I think one of the things to do is to start with someone who really, really cares to spend consistent time with the kids in that neighborhood, wherever that neighborhood might be. Mm-hmm. And I think the consistency is key when you're starting something out. Now, I get it. You're a volunteer. You have other things you have to do. My predecessor, our founder, probably ran into the same challenges when he was first starting out Heart of Los Angeles. But if you're going to be there on a Saturday, be there every Saturday. Pick one day a week. Start that way. Don't try to say, I'm going to start this nonprofit and I'm going to, open the doors. I'm going to be here every day and we're going to make this work and this is going to be incredible. Do what you can do and do it consistently. Mm-hmm. Because, these kids rely upon a lot of hope. Hope for an alternative, hope for a brighter future than the one in which they're living. We're talking about going into gang-infested neighborhoods. They've been let down many times in life. Mm-hmm. And that's part of why they've joined the gang. Mm-hmm. Because the gang has come in and said, hey, listen, I know this person's let you down. I know that person's let you down, whether it's your parents, your school. But don't worry, me and the homies, we're there with you. Mm-hmm. We won't let you down. And so if you're going to create something, make sure you don't overcommit. Mm-hmm. And do what you can do and do that consistently. Mm-hmm. I think that will help you launch something that kids will want to come back to. Because trust is a major issue. That's what's been broken. I think, mm-hmm. Our country has this social contract that we're going to take care of our children. Mm-hmm. We're going to send them to schools that are safe. We're going to, create neighborhoods and parks that are safe for them to play in. We're going to give them outlets to where they can be creative and express themselves without being bullied for it or without being, jumped into a gang. We're going to do all these great things. Well, if you're going to take this on, recognize that you have a responsibility then, mm-hmm. right, to be consistent and to be someone that these kids can trust.
Okay, let's talk about that for a minute. You want to comment on what Tony Brown, now Tony Brown is the executive director of OLA, Heart of LA, probably one of the best after-school programs in the city of Los Angeles, the city situated in the MacArthur Park mm-hmm. area, which at one time was the heartbeat of gang activity.
Yeah, sure was.
Your most dangerous gangs was in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So can you want to comment on what he was talking about, it take to set up programs in these areas?
He absolutely hit the nail on the head. It's consistency. It's the fact that we have maybe 40 organizations, give and take, within a 3-mile radius that may go for the same mission of helping youths, or one may do help domestic violent victim, one may help veterans, one may help incarcerated. But the mission is still the same. It's to help those who can't really get on themselves. And how a lot of us fail in that aspect is that we have great ideas, great missions, but we don't stay consistent. We give up easily, especially our black and brown communities, where is lack of funding for everything. So we have to pull together more than anything because of that lack that we have and put our resources together. Once we do that, we will exceed the organizations that have resources that are gaining. If we just put a brother who may be a cameraman and shoot some video, let's not think about getting paid right now. Let's think about creating a content, because that's what sponsors are looking for. There are so many good ideas, but they're all separate. They're all alone. But if we gather and spearhead for this one particular project, that's when we'll see progress and the reduction of incarceration, homelessness, hopelessness, increase of education would significantly change. Mm-hmm. And it's consistency. That's really is the key.
Mm-hmm. And then you want to?
She's right. Yeah, we have the most biggest problem with being consistent. I mean, and even touching on how my background and growing up where I'm from, there was a lot of people that came through and did certain camps and certain programs, and they would all fall off after a while, and you'd never see them again. And then we just go back to doing the same thing we was doing before they came.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm.
Crabs in a barrel syndrome, so
yeah.
to speak.
Yeah.
Now, how do we get these little young teenagers that you know how important it is when you just say 11, 12, 13, 14. These are critical years.
Yeah, those days.
Especially for males. especially for males of color in these areas. Yes. How do we pull on them and get them involved in these positive programs instead of getting them caught up, like you say, the pipeline on the way to prison?
Right. We have to meet them where they are. Sometimes, like, for example, Christian organizations, for example, they try to approach the kids in a holier-than-thou manner, you know, kind of Bible thump them and saying, you know, this is not the way. But yet they go to their house and they leave the kid in their environment fending to survive. So the kid or anyone needs some type of proof, some type of change. For example, you can't tell a hungry person, you know, get on your feet and do better for yourself. Give him a sandwich first and then talk to him. And that's the method that Jesus used in the Bible. He always healed the person first. And then he would say, get up and not sin no more, or get up and walk. Mm-hmm. It's really putting our words into action. And once they start seeing that you can make a difference with the little things, then they start trusting you, because you can't fool a child, especially mm-hmm. those impressionable years. They are really, you really can't pull anything over their heads. Mm-hmm. And so if you be real with them and you speak their language and you let them know that this is not the way, because so-and-so, here, let me show you how to do that by giving you maybe $20 to go get something to eat, or just show them something, and then they'll be at attention, and then they'll say, okay, maybe this person is speaking something I need to hear.
Now, do we need a teen organization where they can communicate with each other?
Yeah, well, I think mentors should be age-related mentors. We need to highlight the teens that are doing good. And for so long, they're not highlighted. We always putting a flashlight on the negatives in our neighborhood. So the ones who are staying in school, the one who are not in the streets, the one who do want to make a change, they're looked over. And mm-hmm. so they mesh with the crowd. So we want to pull those exceptional children out and okay. train them to help others.
Okay. And so, what I want to do, I want to play a clip about Teen Line, and then ask you about the possibility of, when you develop your organization, will it have something like this?
Okay.
Yes, the interview. Okay, this is Melvin Ishmael Johnson with the Coon Round Report. I'm down here on the campus of USC at the Peace Center at the Anti-Bullying Fair. And who am I speaking with?
I'm Lillian Horan.
Haley Millman.
And Chanel Pekar.
Okay. Can you tell us what is the name of your organization?
Teen Line.
Teen Line.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell us a little about it? What the mission statement, the purpose of it?
Teen Line's a teen-to-teen hotline. So the purpose of our program is so teens who are in trouble and just need to talk about something can call up and have another teen on the line to just talk to and vent.
Mm-hmm. Is it a contact information that they called?
Yeah. Well, we have our website, teenlineonline.org, and our phone number, 310-855-4673.
Uh-huh. And how did you get involved?
I got involved because I saw a poster on the wall of my school, and I just thought it would be a great program to join. So, mm-hmm.
And what grade and what school?
I'm in 12th grade and Venice High School. Well, I just graduated, but yeah.
Okay, wonderful. And now, who else am I speaking to here?
I'm Haley Millman.
Haley, how did you get involved with it?
Same thing. I saw it at my school, and I went online and I signed up. I thought it'd be a great thing to work with.
Okay, mm-hmm. same school?
No, I go to Champs Charter High School.
Okay, and what mm-hmm. grade are you in?
12.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wonderful. You're going to college?
No, I'm going next year to college.
Next year?
Yeah.
Okay, you already know what school you're going to, or you're thinking about what field you're going to be in?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
All right. And then who am I speaking with?
I'm Chanel. Okay. I also got involved. I got involved as a freshman in high school at Milken, and I saw it online and knew I wanted to join, so I did so.
And what grade are you in?
I'm going to be a junior this year.
Okay. How did you guys get involved with the Anti-Bullying Fair?
We got involved through Teen Line. The organization usually sends us out to places that have to do with bullying around the Los Angeles area. And as many teen volunteers as possible come out to show our support.
Mm-hmm. What's the history of Teen Line? Who founded it? Yeah, you found them?
No, I didn't, but it was founded by Dr. Elaine Leader and her co-founder, who unfortunately passed away. It was founded about 31 years ago, in 1980, so no, more than that. Sorry, math. But and it's, so it's been going strong, and we get approximately 10,000 or more calls every year, so it's a really influential part of our community.
So do you get calls from all over the nation, or just mainly it's a community base?
Oh, yeah, all over the nation, and we actually also have emails and texting, and specifically with our emails, we actually get emails from all around the world. So the UK, Australia, all these places. We get our calls nationally, so we'll regularly talk to people all across the nation.
Now, how do it work? When they call in, do you refer them to a counselor, or you're trained as a counselor, the one that's on the line?
Well, every teen receives 65 hours of training, so that's approximately 13 weeks or so. Mm-hmm. And so us teens, we're trained to be on the line and to listen to all these problems. And depending on the issue, we might give an outside referral, so like therapy or another hotline that is more specific. But other than that, we are trained to deal with all of these things. So, yeah.
Okay. Once again, give us the contact information for a teen out there that might be in trouble, want to call the line. What's the information?
Our website's teenlineonline.org, and our number is 310-855-4673.
Okay, and give your name again.
Lillian Horan.
Haley Millman.
And Chanel Paycar.
Okay, thank you very much. And this would be a broadcast Monday on the Coonrown Report. Thank you. Okay, let me ask you real quick, and then we're going to take a break for our community calendar, and we're going to come back and get into your section. Reese is supposed to do something live for us. It's already set up. Do you want to do it within your show, or you want to do it after your show?
We could do it after.
Okay, we'll do it after, because we'll have a good 15 minutes for your section. I want to have a little time also to do a little roundtable comment after we finish your show. But let me ask you this. How can you make something like that part of your organization, what they're talking about?
Yes, we're actually working on not on hotlines, but on face-to-face interaction. So when we have events, we have about three or four teen mentors that's been working with us since day one. They each specialize in something different, one acting, one music, one singing, one writing. And each of these, each of our teen mentors will talk to the youths who are coming up to our sign-up table and specifically signing them up for a particular performing arts they like to accomplish. And eventually we do want to have a hotline, because I believe any aspect for them to reach out, and whether it's web, person-to-person, phone, it's very important that they be able to reach you 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Yeah, and seeing what I like about this, and I know this was sound like mostly a suburban concept, these individuals put it together, but the most important thing is teenagers being able to talk to teenagers.
Yes.
But a lot of times in household, you may have this little young, gifted 12-year-old artist, potential artist. He's in an abusive or single head of the household, just a tore-up environment or anything like that.
Yeah.
This is the type of individuals that you couldn't expect that would come out to an event, just say at the convention center and sign up and all that kind of stuff. That's why I like that whole concept of a teen line.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about, new ideas working into the structure of an organization. Well, a little individual like that, they can call that line, talk to another teen line that will help guide them out of that environment into these after-school programs.
Yes, it's relative, and that's what the key is, to be relative and meet them where they are so they can really hear you.
Okay, let's do a community calendar, and then we'll come back, slide into the Warriors Radio.
Oh, okay.
Interesting subject.
This is a community calendar for upcoming events. The Roby Theater Company presents Dunbar World Premiere, The Magnificent Dunbar Hotel, a stage play written by Levy Lee Simon and directed by Ben Guillory. Performance began on November the 22nd, 2014, and will run through December the 21st, 2014. It's at the Los Angeles Theater Center. Location is 514 South Spring Street here in Los Angeles. It's about the 30s and 40s on Central Avenue in Los Angeles. For the Duke, the Count, Dorothy Dandridge, and Lena Horne perform your favorite songs. This place is the Magnificent Dunbar Hotel. There are special rates for general admission, special rates for students, seniors, and Thursdays, and much more. So please call or contact for tickets, LATC, at 213-489-7402, or log on to latc.org. And you can contact the box office at 866-811 or, 866-811-4111. And you can also contact the Roby Theater Company direct at info@robytheatercompany.org. If you have a community event that you would like announced on our show, send the information to dramastage1@yahoo.com. Attention, Earlene Anthony. The call-in number for our show is 800-893-9562. Now, back to our host.
Thank you, Ms. Earlene Anthony. Now, at this point in our show, I would like to turn it over to Ms. Mella Desire with Warriors Radio, and we're going to move into the song Smashing Punking
Tiberius.
Okay, Tiberius. No.
Welcome to Warriors Radio. This is a segment for the Kingdom Warriors Foundation, nonprofit to help inner city youths rehabilitate through performing arts. Now, we have a controversial subject that's been hammering us for the last, 6 months. The NFL has released some series of abusive photos from certain players, but more importantly, the dangers of football amongst our youths, especially our inner cities. We have a basketball and football sporting events usually going on in almost every inner city in America. Why is football the sports of choice for our inner cities? We have several stories of deaths that actually happened to these three young teens and basically a week apart in different parts of the United States, one in Alabama, one in North Carolina, and one in New York. It was a heartbreaking week for these three families, and they all died a week from just head concussions and injuries. And while these investigations are underway for each case, it is believed that the deaths have been related to football. In most cases, recently, a Long Island boy in New York, 16-year-old, reportedly suffered a serious head injury during a varsity game. He was rushed to the hospital and died after surgery. On the other side, we have parents like John Ferjanik of Chicago, who we will have for next month's show. He played football through high school and during college at Yale. And he says his 7-year-old daughter will never play football if he had a son and would never have him play as well. He had over 10 concussions playing football, says Ferjanik, who says he was coached by some of the best in the business. No coaching technique can result in safety when it comes to the point of playing defense to play with reckless abandon. The kids today call it blowing people up. The game is violent, so Ferjanik says, and so people get hurt in these violent games. On the other side, we have parents like Ben Smith, who is the chief executive officer of Wonderful Media, whose eighth grade player plays football. Smith says that he certainly has thought about the risks, but says training put in the place of children's programs during the last few years has given him the confidence to let his son play. Now, what would you say to these three families who have lost their teens, same situation, their teens were star football athletes? What do we say to them as far as having their child die from just playing this sport? Do you think we should continue to have sports recreational activities as a go-to activity for our inner city youths? I'm going to ask Reese, one of my guest speakers here, who has a little knowledge on this, and see what he may feel on this subject.
Well, I believe that it's very important that not only from a young age that we get them to focus mainly on academics, but I believe just overall they should be focused on academics for as much as the same as some parents don't even want their children to work or start working until after high school. That way they can focus on school. But yes, I do agree that they should not be focused on sports as their way of getting a scholarship or their, you know, what if you get hurt? Every scholarship isn't the same, you know. It'd be the same thing as if you go into the NBA and you get hurt. You know, you didn't finish school, so now you just have to.
There goes the draft.
Back. Yeah, you have to fall back on what you got drafted for. You know, it might be a couple $100,000, and you don't have any life skills, so you may not even know how to budget that $100,000 or $50,000,
$60,000. Yes, I agree. Totally, because basketball, Allen Iverson is a perfect example of that. He became a NBA star at a young age, and because of his lack of management, you know, he ended up bankrupt during the later years. And who's to say football is any different? But what we'd like to do, like, what do you expect or what would you like to have in place of sports as an activity for particularly our urban communities?
Well, It's kind of ironic because what you were sharing is one of my ideas that I have for my latter days. I believe that if we can get performing arts organizations, because one of the things that I want to do is bring a performing arts organization to where it can be almost in the form of like Voltec, to where they can go after school or during school and work on certain trades. Let's say if, like, I remember I was telling someone that in high school I had the opportunity to learn how to not only play piano at an advanced level, but also they teach me how to read and write the sheet music. Just being able to write and or read the sheet music alone, that's very big money. Let's say if Snoop Dogg wrote a beat and, you know, he doesn't know how to write music. He wants to hire you to come and write out the notes to it. That's big money. If you know how to play, you can go and play at night. Let's say if you're a college student, if you want to take a night job, you can go and play at a jazz club, or you can play on at a church service. One of our friends, Willie Beats, he just told me yesterday at an event, he said, this morning I just made an extra $400 just for playing for a church one service. I said, man. So, you know, those type of tools, it doesn't necessarily take away from you know, the academics, but I believe that it's something that we can learn over a course of time. And it's very fun. You don't have to put too much stress on it. You know, it's just, I believe that it could be an after school activity to where we can study it at free will, but at the same time, focus on our academics, because I believe that our academics is really what saves us. And if we can learn a trade to where, you know, it's some way we can make money on the side, whether it's for the summer or even like, I'm sorry, what is it? Conflict resolution skills. Like where I was a part of one of Rosa Parks organizations when I was a preteen. And, you know, we did seminars to where we just did classes. And they actually taught us skills. It was a 3-week long class, and it was Pathway to Freedom was the name of the group. It was very good, but that's what I'm saying, to be able to learn so many different things to where we could constantly get different avenues to different ways of getting money and also expanding our relationships to where it's not just, oh, sports,
right,
drugs, mm-hmm, okay, rapping. Just like me, okay, you know, I do music, but also I write poetry. I have a book of poetry out. So it's different avenues.
And we'll be so grateful for you to grace us with a little sample later on.
Yes,
we definitely appreciate your comment on that. Although there are benefits to football, it does build a kid's confidence. It is great exercise, but we need different methods so it can be less of a dangerous sport. Mm-hmm. For example, that training part of Heads Up football program funded by the NFL, coaches are educated on how to deal with concussions and how to teach safer ways to tackle, where mm-hmm, players are taught to keep their heads up and lead contact with their shoulders, not their heads. Now, mm-hmm, do you think that this alternative is a better way of teaching kids, or do we need more methods to really make this a safe sport for our youths?
I believe that it is, but I believe that it's also part of it. I think that the method of, you know, being just per se a role model, I think it could be taken advantage of far as from the youth perspective, to where it should be more so as I don't know. I can't think of a better word, but it's just like in so many words, just flowing with a decent relationship, not so much of trying to be a confidant or, you know, mm-hmm, an actual coach, just being that person that's just there, but that actually brings these tokens to them, not just, you know, skills, how they say, even with basketball, mm-hmm, you learn different aspects about life the same way how they say, and they apply it the same way as like math,
right,
to life.
You have to apply it correctly in order for it to work. Now, would you have your child enroll in the football activities?
If they wanted to, but honestly, I would tell them to go for something like golf. Maybe even. No, seriously. Okay.
That's a radical change.
Yeah, like golf, soccer, even maybe.
It is
but
safer, yes.
The one main thing would be tennis, even, mm-hmm, but baseball.
Okay.
Baseball to me is very essential to economics, it's fun. Mm-hmm. And also,
it's actually one of the third largest sport from basketball. Actually, soccer is number one, football and baseball.
It's the highest paying sport.
Yeah. So, yeah, that could be another alternative for our inner cities. But most of the baseball actually is in a place like East L.A., MacArthur Park, Boyle Heights, in the more Latino communities. Whereas the our Black communities really focuses on football and basketball. And as a Kingdom Warriors Foundation, we really are trying to implement different outlooks other than sports. We are born to excel in sports. For example, they give us a ball and we're very creative with it. So whether it's street ball, basketball, soccer, we really want to expand that opportunity for kids other than football. So this is going to be a 2-month discussion. So our next show, we will continue on and hopefully have John Ferjanik of Chicago, who is a big representative of anti-sports, so to speak, with football to our inner city youths. And also we would like comments and call-ins from parents and coaches of football leagues, particularly in our urban cities, and really get the word out on what football is really about and how we can make it a safe sport for our youths. Now that we're winding down a little bit, we're going to just draw a conclusion to our segment for football. There is risks there, but the rewards are great as well, depending on what aspect of football that you're trying to enroll the kid into. Coaching, I believe, is always important. And instead of creating players, we need to create more coaches. I really believe that coaches can further along the cause of not only helping the child mentally and physically, but giving them the confidence in other aspects of life. So we can allow the kid to play football. And if they're a football star, that's great. So be it. But we don't want that to be the last resort for our urban recreational activities. We want to expand and encourage writing, encourage cinematography, encourage music, encourage anything that doesn't require you just to pick up a ball and run or throw or just do what you can with it. I really think we have a long ways to go with this, but because we have instilled in sports for so long in our neighborhoods that we kind of, it's second nature to us, and we want to break that stronghold into something positive.
Mm-hmm.
And performing arts is the key.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Ms. Mellows. Great
you.
Start. Interesting subject. I'm waiting on you to see some of your later sections. Sports is such an important part in the inner city community.
Yes.
And not only that, but in the whole capitalistic system as a whole.
Yes.
Going all the way back to the Romans and the Greeks,
mm-hmm.
they really emphasized that that sporting element. But that's for, we have a chance to do a whole show on that. You open up some doors there, especially with the football
yeah.
and concussion thing. Let's get into, let's move, before we do any comments, let's move into our entertainment section. Reese 3, do you have a special kind of introduction that you do for Reese 3? How are you going to introduce him on this show, into this piece?
Well,
or you let him introduce himself?
I normally let him introduce himself.
Okay. Here's Reese 3 performing.
It's Reese 3, I had to go over that a few times. It's Reese 3, Motivational Management. I am going to be performing cabaret. That's what we have.
Cabaret. We ready?
Yeah, but before we do that,
yeah.
I just want to say, okay. WeBattle.com. WeBattle Music Group.
Okay.
Yeah. Ready?
You most definitely.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for coming out tonight.
Thank you all.
This wonderful event. This beautiful cabaret. Beautiful people.
Beautiful lights.
I'm going to need everybody to get on the dance floor, so grab someone and let it do what it do, my baby.
Now as I'm stepping through this cabaret, my gear is a plus. I act the fool as I must, I snatch a chick if I must. I see one with a nice waist, a tight face, and a beautiful bust. Must be waiting for Reese to come, put a smile on her face. Some sweat in the neck, just give me a sec. Girl, I have you dripping, ooh, so wet. I wanna see you gone, cut a rug on the set. So cut a rug on the set, and I'ma keep this in check.
Girl, you know.
Uh-huh.
That I want you.
I say,
girl, I want you.
I'm feeling that. You feeling that? I'm feeling that. 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 I'm feeling that.
Girl, you know.
Uh-huh.
That I
uh-huh.
want you.
Everybody girl, clap your hands. I'm feeling that. You feeling that? I'm feeling that. I'm feeling that. I'm feeling that. I'm feeling that. I'm feeling that.
Cabaret dancing, kinda like romancing. Without adultery, seduction, like Mary. I'm searching for a real love, completion, and I obtain love from my family and maker. All I need is a sweetheart bakery, to where our love can rise like pastry. With a kiss, that's the sweetest wine. Plus, you're so fine, be oh so kind. And I love the way you're rocking that white garment, misty, like pomegranate. The way you move your feet, got you on beat to the pace of my heart. Our presence, meek, action speak. New gin cuff link, short white hot pink me. Just think. Girl, you know.
Uh-huh.
That I
uh-huh.
want you.
I say that.
Girl, I want you.
I'm feeling that. You feeling that? I'm feeling that. 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 I'm feeling that.
Well, this how I'm getting down.
Uh-huh. We should do this all the time. Red.
Want you. Girl, I want you.
I'm feeling that.
You
feeling that? I'm feeling that. 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 I'm feeling that.
Praise feast. Reese 3. Well, I know the manager got something to work with over there.
Okay. Oh, yeah, he got some good stuff coming.
Yeah, that's wonderful, man. Push it out there.
Thank you for that.
And, yeah,
that's one to burn a rug off of. Not cut a rug, but burn a rug.
Yeah, yeah. And I like artists that push out positive information and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, Ms. Mello, a couple questions for you. Can you talk about what are your plans for not only your radio show? I want to hear your plans for your organization and for your radio show.
Well, glad you ask. We are pushing a campaign called the 1% Campaign. And what this says is that whether you're homeless or a billionaire, that you give back 1% of your time, resources, and income. There is a campaign that started in Ireland, but we don't have a Los Angeles version. So the Kingdom Warriors Foundation will adopt the Los Angeles version and solicit production houses, companies, large organizations that fund the Music Center, as well will be funding the Kingdom Warriors Foundation. And what this does is spearhead 1% of everybody's everything into this one particular building that we're trying to recreate, almost like Universal Studios, a one-stop shop with animation, state-of-the-art recording studio, editing bay. Also make it a voting and job development center, which is so important in these areas. So mm-hmm. we really want everyone to donate 1%, and 1% is nothing. 1% of your time is like pouring tea in a cup of coffee, water. Or 1% of your income, we spend more on that on juice or something a daily. 1% of your resources, we already have something different that we can offer. And if we all give to this one particular project, we will slowly see our neighborhoods develop into self-sustaining machines that can go on and on and on. And that's how a lot of these organizations, museums, that's how the Music Center, that's how they're funded, by the constant support of their donors. And 1%, everybody can do that. But mm-hmm. we have to start somewhere.
Now, how would it be centralized? The people that get 1%, how would it go to one particular... I want to give 1%.
Yes.
Where do I... send it to.
We have our website. It's the www.kingdomwarriorsfoundation.blogspot. We also will have a new website as well, but there's a PayPal donation page if you want to donate 1% of your income right away. But we will be building some jobs for mentors to an artist who want to teach kids long run. So the sponsors need to have the people in place, and then we already have our business plan ready to go.
Okay.
So,
all right. Can you give us your contact information? We got about maybe about 10 seconds apiece before I wind it down.
Okay, the Kingdom Warriors Foundation, you can go on Facebook, Kingdom Warriors Foundation, or Facebook 1%. My name is Mello Desire, and my telephone is 718-510-4803.
Okay,
Reese. My Twitter and Instagram is at ReesePower3. That's at ReesePower, the number 3. My Facebook product service page is Reese3. And you can find free downloads on my SoundCloud, which is also Reese Power.
Mm-hmm. And you can find me on WeBattle.com. That's WeeBattle. We also are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, LinkedIn, et cetera, et cetera. We specialize in social media marketing. So we're on pretty much all the pages, but it's WeBattle. Just the one word, and also We Battle West for the West Coast.
What's your name?
My name is James Marshall.
Okay, now I would like to extend a special thanks to Mello Desire, Reese 3, James Marshall. Thank you for tuning in to the Qumran Report, and from your host, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, and my co-host, Earlene Anthony, may the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. I leave you with the song, Boss Storm, by Cam Melville and Chief Yellow Mustard.